Smashing jack-o'-lanterns?
Stealing candy?
It's okay.
Believe it or not, I was just like you when I was a kid.
Till my dad set me straight, that is. See, my dad taught me tonight is about respecting the dead. Because this is the one night that the dead and all sorts of other things roam free.
And pay us a visit.
Sorry. All these traditions. Jack-o'-lanterns, putting on costumes, handing out treats. They were started to protect us, but nowadays, no one really cares.
I didn't do such a good job, did I? What do you think?
Hey. Okay. Need a root beer?
Wait. That's right. There's another tradition. Very important.
Always check your candy.
Junk Food Dinner, episode 32. It's the fifth and final week of Schlocktober as we wrap things up with our Halloween theme show. Up first is the low-budget slasher that started it all, John Carpenter's 1978 classic, Halloween. Then a bizarre young woman has an odd way of making friends, in 2002's May. And finally, we have four interwoven stories about what strange things can happen on Halloween, in Trick or Treat, 2007.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Happy Halloween, everybody. Welcome to Junk Food Dinner, episode 32. This is the podcast where each week we scour the internet, video stores, and cable television looking for the most outrageous and interesting cult films. We're not professional film journalists or critics by any means. We are simply three geeks from Ohio with entirely too much time on our hands. In Ohio, I'm Kevin Moss, and I'm joined by my co-hosts Mark Fredo in New York and Parker Bowman in California. Every week, we'll each bring a cult favorite to the table, recalling our personal experiences with the film, discussing its merits, and arguing why or why we did not enjoy it. This is the fifth and final week of Schlocktober, where every week we dedicated a theme show to a favorite subgenre of horror cinema. And this is the grand finale. This is our Halloween show coming to you on Halloween. So happy Halloween, everybody. Hope you are enjoying the festivities. Tonight we're going to be taking a look at 1978's Halloween by the classic John Carpenter. Then we're going to be taking a look at 2002's May, and finally wrapping it up with the new entry to the Halloween canon of films, Trick or Treat from 2007. But first, gentlemen, how's your week been going?
Good. Still playing Fallout.
Yeah.
Mark, how about you? No, I'm 50 hours in or so.
How many hours is this game?
Man, who knows? I don't even know.
Touche.
Hopefully it's infinity hours because I'm getting great joy from it.
Yeah.
So I hope it just keeps going on and on. And it becomes my real life. That's really my main hope.
Well,
like some sort of brain scan thing.
Oh, now that would be something.
I know.
Yesterday I went to a town called Port Chester or Port Chesthare. Which I should mention, I sort of talked to you guys a little bit about this. That whole town smelled like blueberry muffins.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I got off the train and I was like, oh, it smells like muffins. And then everywhere I walked, I was like, still smells like muffins. It was great. But I was on a show, on the Zadalza network. They have a whole like studio set up with the sound rooms and different cameras and stuff. It was really a cool setup. They do a lot of shows there, and I guess they're expanding. But I was on there with director Tom Dolan and the hosts and some of the other people were there. It was a real blast. We did we covered Spookies, which is near and dear to Parker's heart.
You got that right.
Yeah, and we actually watched the movie with them, and you know, they told us stories about being on set and, you know, the movies they made afterwards, which also sound pretty amazing. And it was really fun and really informative and hilarious. And all those guys are great. So you should definitely check them out if you like our show. They do a lot of very similar things. And hopefully we'll be working with them again soon.
Yeah, I mean, I listened to it today, and it's like the closest thing you'll ever get to a Spookies director commentary on a DVD or something, you know. So, yeah, we'll have a link to it on the webpage, I'm sure, by the time you're hearing this. So, yeah, but definitely check that out. If you like Spookies and you want a little bit more info and some insight on it, check it out. And Mark is there representing the JFD.
That's right. Me and Tom and Anthony and Frank and Pete. It was a blast. So
yeah, it looks like you guys had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'd like to thank them on the show. Thanks, guys. Hopefully we'll be seeing you again soon.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Kevin, did you do anything this week?
No, not really. I've been editing last week's show and playing in with Follow the band. Him. No, playing in my band. and just running around like a fucking crazy asshole. You know, I was thinking about this today, and this is Halloween, and we're doing our Halloween theme show, why I love Halloween so much. And I think, you know, it's just a good old-fashioned American bastardization of ancient traditions. And it's just, it's the one time of year where it seems like the whole world is catering to my sensibilities. You've got wolfmen and mummies and supermarkets and grown adults dressing like idiots and acting like fools. And it's a monument to junk food and horror movies and everything that makes America weird and great. And I think that's why, you know, I think people like us that dig the cult movies, that dig the horror movies, absolutely identify with the holiday. And it's kind of our Christmas. It's the time we look forward to most all year long when we can get silly and enjoy our eccentricities together. So let's talk about Halloween. What do you guys you guys love Halloween, of course.
I love Halloween.
Yeah, I absolutely love Halloween.
What are some of your guys' favorite Halloween costumes that you've ever worn, either as children or as adults?
One time when I was in high school, I had a friend named Doobie who was nicknamed that by somebody who didn't know that he smoked marijuana, oddly enough, which is funny.
But he did smoke marijuana.
Yeah, he did. But that guy didn't know anything about it. So my friend Doobie was always like really upset about that. Like he didn't want to be unfairly nicknamed Doobie. But he wouldn't have minded it if somebody who he was actually smoking marijuana with would have nicknamed him that. But, yeah, he used to wear, like, I mean, this was, like, 1997 or 98. So he used to wear, like, the huge 52-inch JNCOs and, you know, like, a work shirt and suspenders. And he wore this, like, every day. And so for Halloween one year, I just went as him. I borrowed some of his pants, put on a work shirt that said Doobie. And just hit it. Went to a horror movie festival. It was delightful. That's probably my favorite costume. and it was especially funny and sad because all day, like I dressed up before I went to school, and all day long, people kept coming up to me going, "Hey, I get your costume. You're supposed to be like a nerd, right? You're like a dorky kind of guy." And that's sad for my friend.
You're like a dorky raver. I went as a crayon one year. Thought that was pretty good.
Nice.
I was a magician. I've been a cardinal.
The bird or the religious figure?
The bird.
Okay.
I was Frankenstein. I was Dracula. I was Robin Hood. I was a skeleton. I was Coach McGurk last year.
Nice. I can see that.
This might have been it. I was a slutty tree.
Nice.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, I had the distinction of being both George Bush Sr. and George W. Bush for Halloween during their presidencies, both in a mocking fashion. But yeah, when I was
George Bush Sr. when you were like 8 or something?
Yeah, to be more accurate, I was I was Dana Carvey being George Bush Sr. for Halloween. I had a sweet George Bush Sr. mask and, you know, wore the suit. Yeah, I was like 8 years old and doing my best Dana Carvey impression all night long.
That's pretty great.
Yeah. I've been a wolf man more times than anything else. I was that like 5 times as a kid, and I was that last year for Halloween. It just seems like my go-to costume. I just love gluing hair to my face and wearing gloves with hair on them. I like being hairy, I guess, is what it boils down to.
It's not so great.
Yeah. And this year, I don't know if you guys are dressing up, but I am. I'm going to a party, And I'm being Beetlejuice, and Laura's being Lydia, so that should be fun.
Oh, nice.
I was thinking about being Beetlejuice from the Howard Stern show.
That entails a lot more work.
Yeah, I'd have to chop off my legs.
Right.
Smoke a lot of meth.
Ugh. Yeah, you need to get real gross.
Are you guys dressing up for Halloween this year?
I don't know. I really have no real plans. I'm going to go get, since it's Halloween, it's inherently spooky. I'm going to get spooky brunch, and then I'm going to go see Seven Samurai at this theater, and then maybe go out, but maybe just watch a bunch of movies. I got my House DVD in the mail, and maybe watch a little Birdemic. Just, you know, the absolute scariest movies I can think of. But if I go out, I think I'm going to be Steampunk Mrs. Doubtfire or Raveheart.
Okay.
So, you know, just like I need like a plaid surgeon's mask.
I picture Raveheart to be very similar to what I picture Parker's Doobie costume to look like.
Yeah, so I need to get some like Scottish JNCOs, I guess. So I don't know, but I really don't know what's going on. Just like every other day, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, I'm actually going to a horror show, a horror marathon tomorrow night. Gonna be seeing Evil Dead 2, The Hills Have Eyes, Pieces, and yes. Satan's Children, all on the big screen. So
that sounds great.
Yeah.
Which festival is that? Which
that's Horrorama in Dayton, hosted by DR Creep.
I went to the very, very, very first Horrorama in Dayton.
Holy shit. You're dating yourself.
Actually, yeah, I know. I was.
I think this is the 13th anniversary.
Is it the 13th one?
Yeah.
God.
And you went to Numero Uno, huh?
Yeah, I was at the first one. They played Scream. They played Blackula, The House of Frankenstein or something like that, and City of the Dead. And me and my friend Tom and my friend Jono were the last people there in the morning. But I think the last movie they played was House of Frankenstein or whatever, so we fell asleep during that. So they had to wake us up.
I thought you were going to say they played Scream, Blackula, Scream, Blackula, Scream. That's what I was really hoping for.
Did I say Blackula? I meant Blackenstein.
Oh, you did say Blackula. So.
Oh, did I? Ugh, I guess I'm racist against monsters.
Yeah, you're totally racist.
Ugh.
All those monsters look the same to you, don't they?
Oh, my God.
With their sharp claws and their big teeth.
New lows.
Awkward. But yeah, I actually, that was, I went there dressed as my friend Doobie for Halloween.
It all comes together.
Yeah, it was a splendid time. I feel sad that that's 13 years ago. That's, I'm going to go eat some Viagra, take some pills.
But yeah, while we're plugging stuff, we also want to plug Kissing Contest, a really cool podcast that that actually gave us a shout out on last week's episode. So we're definitely returning the favor. Those guys are awesome. If you like movies, and if you're listening to this podcast, you probably do, go check them out. They like us.
They could just like us.
Yeah, or they could just like us as human beings. But yeah. Check out their show. They're a lot like us. They just bullshit about movies, and it's really entertaining. I don't know if
they're very entertaining. Yeah. I've listened to like half of the shows they've done. They're good. Yeah, we've got a link for it on our site, junkfooddinner.com. So use us to get to them.
Absolutely.
But don't forget about us.
Yeah.
Don't make us feel used.
Right.
Also, our friend Faith Von Awesome will be on the show later to talk about our movies. And she'll have some information about the show Look that comes on Sunday nights at midnight on Showtime. And she'll be telling us why we should be watching it. So we should probably be watching it even before she tells us to watch it. That way we get inside her head.
All right. So let's get into some of the we asked you guys to share some of your Halloween memories and favorite movies to watch on Halloween with us on Facebook and Twitter and email. So let's get into those now.
Kevin Cecil from Columbus, Ohio, says three that he always watches, Nightmare Before Christmas, Evil Dead 2, and Inside, which is totally fucked up. although, I might argue that Inside is more of a Christmas movie.
As is Nightmare Before Christmas.
As is Nightmare Before Christmas. But all good films.
Yeah.
Another one we have is from my friend Mike McClellan, and I thought this was really funny. He said, my brother and I once tried to make a haunted woods in about a half acre of forest in our backyard. Maybe a half a dozen neighborhood kids walked through it, which was good because it was pretty much a two-trick show. We tied up a bunch of stuffed clothes that looked like bodies and hung them up on ropes in the trees, and when the kids walked below, my brother, who was hiding nearby, cut the ropes. Then when they started running away, he plugged in two extension cords to trigger a leaf blower we hid under some leaves, which blew all the leaves into their faces as they tried to get out of the woods. Good times. Yeah, so I think that's pretty funny.
Nice.
Yeah.
Aaron Phillips has a Halloween memory for us. He says his favorite Halloween memory is getting really drunk for the first time on Jello shots served in a syringe at Derailed's Halloween party and jamming out on a fake guitar to the Faces' Ooh La La while dressed as a king. So, yeah, I think that pretty much embodies the Halloween spirit right there.
Yeah, definitely.
Ryan is the Max on Twitter. Tells us that his Halloween musts are An American Werewolf in London, Dead Alive, and Trick or Treat. He also says that his honorable mentions, and fitting for us, he says, is May from 2002, which we're actually going to be watching, and Trick or Treat too. So this guy called it. He's got our number, this guy.
Right.
We're telepathically linked. Maybe Ryan is the Max is our Max because he's linked to what we're doing mentally.
Right.
Over here.
Yeah, I love American Werewolf in London. That's one of
I watched that the other day. My roommate had never seen it, and I was like, oh, shit, we got to watch it. Apparently, and she just sent me a picture text of this, there is a there's a bar downtown somewhere called The Slaughtered Lamb, and they have the same sign and everything.
That's awesome.
So, because I was like, it sure would be cool if I had like a shirt from this bar or something. She was like, that bar is downtown. So, might have to go hit that up.
Yeah.
See if I can fuck up somebody's darts game.
Right.
Yeah, we got one more. Adam Sheets 08 on Twitter says, The Pit and the Pendulum, Corman and Price version, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 74, and Play Misty for me, Eastwood, Nuff said. Also, all good.
Play Misty for me is one of my mom's favorite movies.
Maybe they've watched it together.
Yeah.
If not, maybe you could set that up.
Right. Hey.
I've never seen Play Misty for me, but I've always wanted to because that's what they used to call the Mystery Science Theater marathons that would come on, I think, on Thanksgiving. So.
Sweet.
I like that movie, even though I've never seen it. Lori Pennybacker, a good friend of mine, sent us an email saying that The Worst Witch with Fairuza Balk and Tim Curry has been an annual tradition with her since the late 80s, which is true. I think she showed me that movie for the first time in like high school or something. So her story adds up. It all checks out.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
It's ridiculous. Kevin Merriman is another champion of that film, and his sister as well. Kevin and Kelly Merriman both love The Worst Witch, and rightfully so.
It's insane.
It seriously is. Yeah, what about, I mean, other than the stuff that we've talked about this month, is there anything we've missed, do you think?
Well, Creepshow is always a Halloween favorite of mine to watch. You know,
Creepshow 3, you mean?
No, Creepshow 1.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, one Halloween tradition that I never got into is Charlie Brown, Great Pumpkin. Even as a youth, I never dug that Charlie Brown stuff. It was always too...
Get real.
It was never up my alley.
You're too cool for Charlie Brown?
Hell yeah, dude. I mean...
Yeah, I never got into him either. That guy was kind of a whiner.
Fuck you guys.
Yeah, I don't know. Why do we need to watch some show about some guy who complains about everything? I mean, his friends don't even like him.
All we do on this show is complain about stuff. All
right. You know what movie I do love, if we are talking about children's Halloween traditions, is Mad Monster Party. Have you ever seen that? It's like a Rankin and Bass stop motion thing, kind of like, you know, the...
Oh, like a Frosty.
But yeah, it's got monsters and...
No, I've never seen that. I've heard of it. I think you have probably talked about it on here before, but yeah, I've never actually seen that.
Yeah, if you're, you know, looking for some childlike Halloween stuff, that's a good one to watch. I feel like I always, speaking of kid stuff, watched a lot of Scooby-Doo around Halloween as well.
Mm-hmm.
I have a DVD of four episodes of a Canadian kids show called The Hilarious House of Frightenstein.
Oh, God. I've seen that.
Have you ever seen that? It's a lot of fun.
It's got Vincent Price on it, right?
Yeah, Vincent Price is in it. There's a Wolfman who's a radio host, sort of Wolfman Jack type guy. And there were a lot of dancing and musical numbers and stuff. It's pretty wild. I wish there were more than just those four episodes, but I've watched those quite a few times.
Yeah.
Little Treehouse of Horror. That's always popular.
Right.
It used to be. It seems like the last 5 years they've shown the Treehouse of Horror episode the second week in November.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm not counting those anyway.
That's for the best.
Yeah. There's got to be other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole slew of any number of horror movies that you can watch around Halloween and have a good time. I mean, but yeah, a lot of the stuff we've covered this month are ones that I always break out around October, Return of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
And, House on Haunted Hill and stuff like that. So.
Totally. I mean, I was always a big Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark fan, growing up, but, when I was a young child, I lived in West Virginia and I had a book called The Telltale Lilac Bush that were all Appalachian ghost stories, and I loved it. There was actually a second one called Coffin Hollow that this lady put together, both of these, Ruth and something or other. I think it starts with an M. Anyway, but I was thinking about, Halloween stuff this month, and I thought about that book, so I requested it at the library, and I'm actually going to pick it up tomorrow, so I'm hoping that it is as terrifying as it was to me when I was eight.
Yeah.
But I do. There was a story about a lady who gets burned to death when she falls into a huge vat of apple butter. So, pretty rural.
That would be the most delicious way to die.
I know. be licking my blisters.
When
anyway. What?
When the firemen were reaching in to save me, I would decline their offer.
No, it's too delicious in the air.
Bring in some bread.
Yes, send zucchini bread.
Well, let me ask you this question. Do you guys have any debaucherous Halloween stories? Any tales of Halloween costumes filled with vomit or waking up on someone's doorstep or anything like that in your later years? How about even just some rebellious smashing of pumpkins or vandalism or, something that's out of the statute of limitations that you couldn't get arrested for now?
I feel like I gave too much of a shit about Halloween and my pumpkin that I didn't go out and smash pumpkins because I was like, well, I worked hard on my pumpkin. I don't want to smash someone else. You know what I mean?
Very respectful young man.
Yeah. Well, I didn't snatch kids' pillowcases or anything. I was an upstanding member of the Halloween community.
I remember one year Halloween fell on a weekend and me and Ghetto Boys were trick-or-treating and we were robbing little kids for bags. And
that didn't happen. That was somebody else.
That's the lyrics. Thinking, my mind is playing tricks on me. But
yeah, you're thinking something else.
One year in high school, me and a friend of mine stole somebody's pumpkin and we named it Presentable Delia. Because we thought that would be a good name for a pumpkin. And we literally did not go anywhere without this pumpkin for two or three weeks. It was even after Halloween. We would take it to school with us. And we would, they'd be like, whoa, blah, blah, blah. You're going to get in trouble for carrying around this pumpkin. And we just accepted it. I think one of us ended up getting suspended for a few days because we refused to not have this pumpkin on our person. And by the time we finally gave it up, it was rotting and gross. It was all kinds of. It was awful. It was really smelly, but we finally gave it up. I forget what we did. I think we probably just threw it at somebody's car or something for a burial. But Presentable Delia was a good friend of ours for
Presentable a short Presentable Delia is a pretty great name, actually.
Well, thank you much.
I'm just going to assume here that you weren't having a lot of sex in high school.
Just because a man likes pumpkins doesn't mean anything.
All right. No judgment passed.
Some judgment passed. Yeah, Halloween, always a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I was alluding to before, you know, it's just like the one time a year where people can act like total idiots and get away with it, which I'm always for. All right, so yeah, we are going to take a quick break, and we are going to get our friend Faith Von Awesome on the line, and we are going to jump into our first movie of the Halloween Spectacular here on Junk Food Dinner, none other than 1978's Halloween. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Ago. Michael? Halloween.
I spent 8 years trying to reach him. And then another 7 trying to keep him locked up because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil. I think he'll come back.
Exploring uncharted territory.
Been totally charted.
Just talk.
Sure, sure.
The only reason she babysits is to have a...
Halloween.
Okay, come on out.
Welcome back to Junk Food Dinner, number 32, episode 32. This evening, we have an esteemed guest with us, a good friend of mine. Her name is Faith Von Awesome. When I realized that we would be doing a Halloween show talking about the movie Halloween, I knew there was only one person on Earth qualified enough to help us talk about it. Faith is like the biggest Halloween fan I've ever met, ever, and probably the biggest Halloween fan that exists. So yeah, hello Faith, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. Welcome. How about yourself?
I'm good. Welcome to our show. Thanks for
thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the show.
It's nice to be thought of in reference to Halloween.
Now, are you a fan of the holiday as well as the movie?
Oh yes, it's a big to do around my house. I put out my decorations and everything probably mid September.
Nice.
Plus, I love to scare the neighborhood kids, so you know.
Sweet.
Yes, yes.
I don't know my neighborhood kids well enough to scare them or not. I'm afraid they might retaliate.
What better way to get to know them, Parker?
Than with a turf war.
Exactly. Yeah.
You kids want to come inside and play Fallout? That's old man Bowman's house.
Yeah. He only comes out at night.
You can tell it's him by the sound it makes when he gets achievements in Fallout.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
I know enough about it for us all.
That does not surprise me. John Carpenter's Halloween.
Let's talk about this. Let's run down the plot of this movie, Faith.
Well, I think by now everyone knows that the plot's pretty straightforward. Halloween night in 1963, 6-year-old Michael Myers brutally murders his 17-year-old sister Judith with an extremely large butcher knife. He's inevitably committed to Smith Grove's sanatorium, where he comes under the care of Dr. Sam Loomis. 15 years later, that would make it 1978, on the eve of Halloween, Michael escapes and returns to the town of Haddonfield to eliminate the remaining member of his Myers bloodline. Dum, dum, dum.
Yeah. Where did you first hear of this movie, Faith? How did you get involved with being in love with this?
Well, I am a longtime fan of John Carpenter. I was probably 6 or 7 the first time that I saw Halloween. It was on TV. And what really kind of grabbed me about the whole thing is two things. One, my grandmother was teaching me how to play the piano. And, you know, John Carpenter uses that 5/4 signature piano theme. And then the second thing was that it takes place in like a simple Midwest town with your proverbial middle class families. And to me, this was my neighborhood. This is where I grew up. You know, so Michael Myers could easily be my neighbor next door. And it just, it had such a profound effect on me that every John Carpenter movie that came afterwards, any Deborah Hill production who produced the movie, and she also co-wrote the screenplay, anything she was associated with, I was there. I would beg my parents to the point that I would drive them crazy to take me to the video store so I could rent every John Carpenter movie I could get my hands on. Halloween for me has always been a big deal in my family. My mother, she actually did a lot of theater growing up. So I had quite elaborate costumes as a child. And she would do my makeup and make my costumes for me and everything. So, you know, it was something that was kind of in my blood and just kind of grew from there. But I think it's also one of those movies that even holds up today, you know. I think that you could have, I know I've done it with my sister. You know, once she was a little bit older, I don't know, 8, 9, you know, I made her sit down and watch it with me, and she's the same way. It's just one of those movies that stay with you, and it doesn't matter that it was made in 1978. You know, even now, it still holds up.
Yeah, when I was watching this movie 2 nights ago, and, I mean, this movie doesn't even feel dated at all. Like, you know, it seems when we watch movies that are even from, like, the 80s, they feel just ridiculously dated, like right. Spookies, for example. And this movie, I mean, you know, aside from the fact that the cars are old and some people are dressed like weirdos and there are no cell phones, like you probably couldn't even tell. Yeah, you couldn't even really tell that this was
right
in the 70s.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot that kind of goes without saying when you're talking about this movie because it is so well known, not even just among horror fans, but, you know, just among people in general. This is kind of one of those landmark films in horror cinema. You know, you've got things like Night of the Living Dead and Psycho, and this was definitely a turning point
right.
In the late 70s. It pretty much defined the slasher genre, and there's a lot of conventions that are used in this movie that would be carried on for decades to come. So I think it's, you know, obviously one of the most influential horror movies of all time, and it's pretty much widely recognized as such.
Absolutely. It's often imitated but never duplicated.
Right.
You hear that, Rob Zombie?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I also saw this at a very young age, and it was one of those that stuck with me. And, you know, Freddy was funny, and, like, the Jason movies were pretty fucked up. But
you were rooting for Jason.
Yeah, exactly. This is just terrifying. You know, I was like, the oldest sibling, so I was always babysitting and stuff. And it was, you know, it seemed absolutely plausible that this could happen to me.
Exactly.
So, you know, I was always afraid that Michael Myers was going to come kill me. And I think that that's what really, like, I mean, for a lot of people, that had to stick with them. And, you know, like you said, the theme. And John Carpenter's music is always pretty awesome. So
exactly.
This one is probably the most recognizable.
And being a child of the 80s, you know, when you got into your early teens as a girl, you know, obviously you were called upon to babysit the neighbor children. And so, like, that was one thing that I was always very much aware of when I was babysitting local neighborhood kids. You know, I was always checking the doors and, you know, looking out the windows and, you know, because you never know when some psychotic murderer is going to show up at your door.
Right.
Or, you know, lurk out of the shadows, more or less. But, yeah.
I was just going to say, I actually didn't see this movie as a kid. I actually came to this quite late in the game. When I was a kid, I mostly watched, you know, the aforementioned Freddy and Jason movies for some reason. I think those seemed more kid accessible, and I think my parents maybe didn't mind me watching those as much as something like this. But I actually didn't see this until I was a teenager. I think it was actually the 20th anniversary edition, so like in 1998.
Wow.
When I was working at a video store. Is the first. I mean, I had seen a lot of the sequels, you know, a lot of the more recent ones. Like up until that point, I'm like 5 or 6, but I'd never seen the original one, always heard about it, and was very familiar with the Michael Myers character just from popular culture and stuff. But, yeah, never saw it until, you know, I was about, like, 16 years old. But, yeah, just instantly fell in love with it, as I did with, you know, most of John Carpenter's stuff. He has that, you know, amazing period of time, basically, from, you know, mid-70s to mid-80s, where just everything he did was awesome.
Oh, my God. He was, like, untouchable.
Oh, you know, yeah.
This, Assault on Precinct 13.
Yeah, The Thing.
The Thing, Darkstar, They Live, all, I mean,
Prince of Darkness.
Yeah, you can't fuck with John Carpenter.
No, you really can't.
Even his bad stuff is
still good.
Yeah, it's like light times more watchable.
Ghost of Mars, like, that movie is just, I love that movie. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, I'd rather watch John Carpenter's bad stuff than, like, a million times than watch Wes Craven's bad stuff.
Sure, yeah.
Or somebody else like this. Yeah, I, like Kevin, I saw this movie a little bit late. I saw it in like 8th or 9th grade, I think. And by then I was, you know, already very in love with Freddy and Jason and people like that. And I think that that's, you know, Freddy and Jason are a lot more accessible in that if you were to just jump in on Freddy Part 4 or Jason Part 7, like, it's all the same as if you were watching the first one pretty much. But, you know, if you were to jump in on Halloween at like the 6th one, you would just say, all right, enough of Halloween. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Paul Rudd. Amazing.
Yeah. Michael
I actually,
Myers.
I don't mind the producer's cut. Now, I have gotten into a lot of arguments with people, but the producer's cut of Part 6, I do like. But because Donald Pleasance died and, you know, they didn't want to because, you know, he dies and they leave you with that impression in the theatrical version, but because he died during the filming, they wanted to, you know, honor that, which honestly, if you're going to honor that, then I would have stuck with the original plan. You know what I mean? But they decided that they were going to butcher it all to hell and add in all these scenes that didn't make sense. And, you know, it's a very sad thing because Donald Pleasance is another man who, you know, I grew up watching him and, you know, obviously the Bond movies, and he's been amazing in any film I've ever seen him in. And not to mention that you're always looking for him to give a speech about things that are evil, you know?
Right.
Just, he always goes on some tirade about, you know, how evil something is. And it's just, I could never get sick of that.
Well, yeah, let's talk about some of the performances in this movie. We've got, as you mentioned, Donald Pleasance as Dr. Sam Loomis. Of course, Jamie Lee Curtis as Laurie Strode. And, you know, one of the, you know, original Scream Queens, and like I mentioned earlier, kind of set the prototype for
not a self-proclaimed Scream Queen.
Right.
Which we get all too much these days.
Yeah. And while everybody loves Jamie Lee Curtis, I gotta give it up for my girl, Riff Randall herself, PJ Souls, in this movie.
PJ Souls.
Yes.
Absolutely.
She's an all-time favorite of mine.
And she is one of the sweetest, nicest people you would ever meet.
You met her?
Oh, yeah. I've actually had the pleasure of meeting her several times, and she's just as upbeat and charismatic as, you know, she comes off in films that she's been in. She's just amazing. She's awesome in Stripes too. I love that movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah, she plays Jamie Lee Curtis's, you know, best friend, and she's kind of a little bit of a bad influence, you would say.
Yeah, she's a bad girl.
Yeah, offering up joints.
Yeah.
She's always smoking joints and listening to Ramones records. How could you not love PJ Souls in the 70s?
Yeah. And then you have Charlie Cypher, which has been in a lot, or Cyphers, that's been in a lot of John Carpenter's films as well.
Yeah.
Plays Sheriff Brackett. Tommy Doyle, Brian Andrews. He's a very nice man, but he's probably like 4'7". So, yeah, he's kind of a wee little dude.
Yeah. He was also in a movie.
Push around Prince.
Yeah, he was in a movie called 3 o'clock High that I really.
Oh yeah.
Playing a little nerdy kid.
Yeah, that was a good movie. I haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah, going back to Loomis, I always thought watching this movie that Loomis was probably crazier than Michael Myers. Because Loomis's whole plan, like his whole entire plan on catching Michael Myers, is to just walk around the neighborhood and to stumble upon him. Right. I've always thought that was really the least effective plan.
Yeah, but he always finds him. He always, you know, because it's like, you know, Ahab and Moby Dick. I mean, they're inseparable. Where one goes, the other goes.
That's true. But, I mean, he should have just put a tracking chip into him at some point.
Well, it was, you know, the 70s and 80s. They probably hadn't perfected that yet. People actually have chips put into their children these days, which is just crazy.
Yeah, like, I've heard that people do that. That's
insane. Yeah, they really do that, with especially, like, you know, influential, rich individuals. It's like, okay, Johnny, let's go to the doctor and have a chip put in your neck. Creepy.
My kids don't mind.
They're very understanding about that.
Yeah. I waited until they were a little older. If you had to pick, what would you say is your favorite kill in this movie? Other than the first kill with the gigantic butcher's knife. You did mention that. That is seriously like a novelty size butcher's knife.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Favorite kill would probably have to be probably when he impales Bob.
Yeah, the ghost.
He stands there and he's kind of looking at it like a dog, where he kind of just tilts his head a little bit.
Yeah, the ghost costume is definitely my favorite scene.
Yeah, that was going to be mine. So.
Is that everyone's?
Well, mine's a little cheap, but I like the Michael Myers quote-unquote kill at the end where Loomis just shoots the shit out of him. Spoiler alert!
If you haven't seen Halloween thus far, you probably shouldn't be listening to our podcast anyway.
That's probably true.
But yeah, Loomis just unloads on this dude, and he falls out the window, and, you know, obviously isn't there when they go to look at him.
But I love how he's so not surprised when he looks over. He just, you know, he looks over the balcony, and he's like, "Yeah, I knew that was going to happen."
Yeah, start trolling the neighborhood again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that always scared the crap out of me when I watched this. Is just, he wasn't even there, just peace out, and then the credits roll, you know, like if that was
and you feel so unsatisfied.
Yeah. Very much so.
It left you wanting more.
Yeah, like if that was, you know, like a Jason movie, then, you know, they'd look over and he wouldn't be there, and then his mom would come at them out of a closet or something, you know, and leave you with the cheap scare. But I think it's much more effective in this movie to just leave you like, OMG, WTF.
Yeah. Right. They didn't say that back then. I don't think.
It was totally. Maybe they did.
I don't know.
Yeah, I've always thought that Michael Myers got dealt a sad hand because he's been beaten by the most wussiest people. He gets beat by Paul Rudd, LL Cool J, Tyra Banks, Busta Rhymes.
Yeah.
Just horrible, horrible.
So, if you've ever gone and mingled with other huge fans of Halloween, a lot of them have really great ideas on where to take the series, or, you know, kind of take it a step back and let's eliminate, you know, H2O, which H2O is easy to eliminate because, you know, supposedly it's, you know, that wasn't Michael at all. It was some regular dude that was crazy. You know, it's like, okay, we're taking a page from Jason's book. That's just stupid. I don't really like it when they kind of, you know, go into each other's movies in regards to Jason and Freddy and Michael, and even, you know, some of like Child's Play or, you know, any of the iconic film monsters. So,
yeah,
this is seriously a movie that I've been watching, you know, since I was a kid. And I think, you know, before this, the last time that I watched it was when I was working in the video store. I was working on Halloween and I was like, I'm going to watch Halloween while I'm here because I bet no one comes in to rent it. And nobody came in and rented it. So everyone's an idiot but me.
Yeah, I, you know, like I said, I came to this movie late in the game, but it is definitely a, like I said, landmark moment in horror cinema. You know, it's obviously in the echelon of iconic horror films, and it was one of the first, you know, you always talk about things like Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street, but this was first, and this has kind of set the template, and it still stands up as a very watchable classic, you know, just exciting horror movie. So if you haven't seen this movie, you know, go out and rent it immediately, or go out and buy it immediately. And yeah, it's great.
Yeah, this movie is super good. I think that if you know, like all Freddy and Jason and Leatherface and Michael Myers and Chucky and all those guys, like if they all had each only made one movie, then Halloween is the best of them, I think.
Wow.
And yeah, it's better than all the first other movies that there are.
It's definitely the scariest.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd say genuinely scary on a lot of levels.
Keeps the suspense up. You don't want to look away. You kind of hide underneath your blanket.
Right.
Yeah. Also, there's that scene. I wanted to mention this. It's kind of non sequitur. But there's a scene where PJ Souls and her boyfriend are in the car, like, drinking beers and stuff. And that guy makes that really inappropriate joke about having sex with that little girl. So there's that.
Yeah.
And yep. That's why this movie is good.
Because they got away with it. I think that it's probably one of those movies that I've always had the feeling that you can't have pre-thought into monsters. You can't put all this money into a budget. You can't say, I'm going to make, you know, the new icon of horror. It's going to be the best horror movie, because everyone knows that the greatest monsters have come out of the hardest projects. So with a minimal budget and a very aspiring crew, John Carpenter, obviously the director, the you know, man behind the leading the battle, but every single one of those people wanted to be there. Every single one of those people wanted to be a part of something. You know, people wore their own clothes. They volunteered their own stuff. It was blood, sweat, and tears. So I think that that's another reason why this movie holds up so well, because it's not like Saw Part 17, you know, it's just not an ongoing piece of crap that we've been fed year after year after year. And I think that this movie will continue to hold up 20, 30 years from now. So if you haven't seen Halloween, you need to get out from underneath the rock you're living under and go buy it. Go buy it. And if you've seen the movie and you haven't seen it on Blu-ray, then you need to go pick up the Blu-ray. Because when you watch it on Blu-ray, if you're a Halloween fan, it's like watching the movie all over again for the first time, because you'll see things that you never noticed before on your, you know, crappy VHS or your one of the 18 version DVDs that are out there.
Yeah, I watched this on the Blu-ray and it did look really good.
It's a wonderful transfer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's Halloween. We will be back, and Mark will tell us all about
My
May.
Baby does the hanky panky. My baby does the hanky panky. baby does the hanky panky. Saw her walking on down the line. Yeah. You know I saw her every time. A pretty little girl standing all alone. Baby, can I take you home? I never saw her, never saw her.
You know how when you meet someone and you think you like them, but then the more you talk to him, you see parts you don't like. The boy I saw today is different. I like every part of him, especially his hands.
Hello?
Don't be mad. You've been my friend my whole life. I need a real friend.
So what do you do, May?
I work at the animal hospital.
When I left for vacation, my dog had 4 legs. Now, he only has 3. You can't sew it back on, can you?
I could. Oh, you crazy bitch! Actually, I kind of liked it.
Does this stuff freak you out?
Nothing freaks me out. Jeez, you're a nasty little thing, aren't you? You don't think I'm weird?
Whoa, Jesus Christ!
You feel weird doing this?
Oh, God, I'm bleeding.
I know.
This is weird.
You like weird?
Not that weird.
Lionsgate Films presents...
I'm sorry things didn't work out between us.
I'm not gonna be your friend.
Farid!
Shut up!
If you can't find a friend, make one.
The story of a girl...
What you reading about?
Amputation.
Who only wanted...
You have a beautiful neck.
I love your hands.
You have really beautiful legs.
I love your tattoo.
The perfect friend.
You're gonna look perfect. I need more parts.
May.
I know you would never hurt me, May.
Welcome back to Junk Food Dinner, episode 32. Happy Halloween, you guys.
Yeah.
Yes. So up next on the block is 2002's May. This is a film by Lucky McKee, starring Angela Bettis and Jeremy Sisto and Anna Faris. The movie concerns a young girl named May who has a lazy eye since birth, and it has made life very, very hard for her. She's been picked on, tormented. So her mother encourages her to make a friend since she can't find any real ones. So she makes a terrifying doll that eventually talks to her because she goes crazy. She gets some contacts and attempts to win the heart of Jeremy Sisto, who is a, air quotes, weirdo that she likes. He makes a movie and she tries to bite him and stuff. So that doesn't pan out. So then she thinks maybe she likes girls. So she hooks up with Anna Faris, who is her work friend from the veterinary clinic where she works. And then that doesn't pan out. So she decides that people aren't any good. They just have good parts and concocts a plan to make a new friend. This was a movie that I didn't see for a long time. I would always see it on the shelf and stuff and just kind of like, you know, panned it. But I had a friend who was like, no, it's really good. You should borrow it. And I did, and I loved it. I thought it was really great. I think everyone in it is pretty awesome. I think that the subject matter is good. I think Angela Bettis is super crazy in it. Yeah. And kind of awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I like Jeremy Sisto. I like Anna Faris. I think she would be totally awesome to hang out with. Anna, if you're listening.
Give him a call.
And then later, I found out that the film was edited by Rian Johnson, who I think is fantastic. He directed Brick and The Brothers Bloom. He has a new movie in pre-production called Looper. He also directed an episode of Breaking Bad last season, which was fantastic, so I think that that adds a lot to this movie. And for the Halloween show, we picked movies that take place on Halloween. And while the whole movie does not take place on Halloween, it culminates on Halloween, and I think that that counts. So, what did you guys think of this?
Yeah, I had never seen this movie up until I watched it for the show. I had also, kind of like you, always heard about it and, you know, just never got around to seeing it. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, it was a little slow going for a little bit, but, you know, Angela Bettis is, like you said, just so painfully awkward and creepy.
Yes.
That she is entertaining to watch, and so much so that she landed the role as Carrie in the remake. And when I was watching her performance, it did remind me a lot of Carrie. I didn't put two and two together that it was her in the Carrie remake, but as I watched it, I was like, this is very Carrie-esque performance.
Yeah,
so I'm sure that this job definitely led to that one. And yeah, Jeremy Sisto, who you might remember from like Clueless and
6 Feet Under.
6 Feet Under. Yeah, he's you know, typical, pretty much himself in this movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Anna Faris, normally I'm kind of like hit and miss with her because I hate her and shit like that, those scary movie.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I didn't like her at all in Observe and Report. But like, I see her in some movies, like this movie Smiley Face and stuff like this, and makes me enjoy Anna Faris all over
Even
again.
That, what is it, the House Bunny or whatever? She was hilarious in that movie.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, seeing her play like an aggressive lesbian coworker is really awesome.
Yeah, I love Anna Faris. That movie you mentioned, Smiley Face, which was directed by Greg Araki, who I love. Yeah, I love that movie. I think it's terminally underrated, and Greg Araki is terminally underrated. But yeah, I've never seen this movie until we watched it here for the show. I've always wanted to. I've had like two or three girlfriends who have, you know, pledged their allegiance to this as being their favorite movie ever. And now I understand. Now
I think that
sense.
Says a lot about the women you date.
That it does.
Well, you have a lazy eye fetish, don't you?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. I got posters of Biggie Smalls all over my room.
Oh, that's funny.
Too soon.
But yeah, I thought this movie was really good. I liked Jeremy Sisto a great deal. He was also in Wrong Turn, which I think is a pretty good horror movie to make fun of, mostly.
Wrong Turn 2 is much better.
Yeah,
I haven't seen any of the sequels, sadly.
Wrong Turn, don't watch the third one, but watch the second one. It was directed by Joe Lynch, and there's some lovely surprises in it.
Is that the one with Rollins?
Yeah, so you gotta see it, because you love him.
Yeah, I've been meaning to see the sequels, because, I mean, I've seen the first one like 10 times. I've got it. It's endearing.
Remember when I went to threaten that guy that stole your Rollins book? Those were good times.
That guy would never make eye contact with me ever again. He was scared.
You don't steal Rollins books. What the hell?
But yeah, I like this movie a lot. You know, it's got all these good parts. Oh, and it's also got James Duvall, who's in
right, Donnie Darko.
Yeah, he's in Donnie Darko. He's in The Doom Generation, directed by Greg Araki.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, it's all kinds of good people are up in here that are linked to Greg Araki, who I love.
Yeah, I talked to James Duvall last year at the Horror Hound convention in Cincinnati. And like, just by chance, he was there as making a guest appearance, but he was just like walking around. It wasn't like at a booth or anything. Just talked to him about movies for a little while because we were looking at the bootleg DVDs together. It's pretty cool.
Did you tell him that I love Nowhere?
No, I didn't.
Excuse me.
I need you to know that Parker loves Nowhere and the Doom Generation.
That's hilarious.
I told him the Doom Generation sucked.
Oh!
We'll talk about that later, I'm sure.
Oh, we will. I'm biding my time. I don't know. This is a fun movie. I really enjoyed it. I like when people get chopped up, so count me in on this movie. I don't know.
That's funny. I really like the director, Lucky McKee.
Oh, really? I've never seen anything else by him. And judging by his cameo in this movie, he looks like a total douchebag.
Well, a movie you should see then is a movie that Angela actually directed herself. It's called...
Yeah, I heard about that. That they, like, switched. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a total... Yeah, they totally just switched roles there.
What's it called?
It's called Roman.
Okay.
And it's from 2006, and basically... Lucky plays a lonely young man obsessed with his neighbor, and then he ends up Well, I don't want to give away too much if you haven't seen it. Just check
yeah,
it out.
Yeah,
it's a pretty
it
good
out.
Film. But yeah, she it, for her directorial debut, I thought that she did a wonderful job. And I liked May, but it's been a few years since I've actually seen that one. But I know when I did watch it, I thought it was interesting and different.
Yeah, it's definitely
I did
different.
Enjoy it.
And when I watched it again, I was really struck by how, for lack of a better word, Italian this movie. You know, like, it comes off as, you know, it's got the really like
it's got eye gouging.
Yeah, it's
that's all you need.
Totally Italian. It's got the creepy dolls. It's got bright red. It's got bright red blood. It's got eye gouging. And even when Jeremy Sisto's movie, his credits are in Italian, which I thought was pretty funny. So I don't know if that was deliberate or not, but I definitely thought that it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty intentional. Like when Jeremy Sisto, when we go to his apartment, he's got like the opera poster up, I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All that stuff. So I thought that pretty much the director was just inserting himself as the Jeremy Sisto character, which is cool. I mean, I'm all right with that. I thought it was weird that a guy who would enjoy Fulci movies would turn down a girl that wants to have blood on her during sex, yeah. though. It's like, that doesn't add up.
I found that totally unrealistic.
Yeah, they should have just made Jeremy Sisto just a normal, like, douchebag frat boy or something.
Yeah,
during this movie, it was weird. I always expected it to go into May's backstory and have, like, some crazy religious mom or something of, like, why she's so awkward and, you know, but they didn't really explore that too much. I thought there was going to be flashbacks of, like, a painful family history, and they never really went there, which I don't know if I was disappointed with or I just, you know, because, you know, I'd rather see her get sexually propositioned by Anna Faris than see a flashback to her childhood.
Yeah,
I think
I
they pulled
like,
the right move there.
Yeah, I think you can pretty much put that together, you know, like,
right.
You know that she had a fucked up childhood, like, so
right.
Rather than show her fucked up childhood, they're going to show kids crawling on their hands and knees, blind kids crawling on their hands and knees on broken glass.
Oh my god, that scene was so weird.
It's so horrible.
Yeah. Like, why did they want that doll so much?
Yeah, I know. I was like, man, May's going to wake up, and this is going to be a crazy dream. And it totally wasn't. I was like, oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
Goodness. Raves, junk food dinners, poster blowouts. Just as an aside, getting back to Rian Johnson, in Brick, when they're at that party at the mansion, one of the girls who walks by has the cooler, like she's dressed like May and she has the cooler, just walks by in the background, which I thought was pretty awesome.
Sweet.
So May is my birth month, which is another reason that I...
Yeah, I mean, when watching this, I was waiting for a little bit more of the Halloween element to kick in.
It's just the end. I mean, it culminates on Halloween.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
That's
fair play.
A good time for this movie to culminate. Also,
right.
Just thinking about it again, one of my favorite things in the movie is when the blood and the milk mix together.
Oh, yeah.
Love
very
it.
Cool.
Well, that pretty much wraps it up for 2002's May. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will be discussing Trick or Treat.
costume.
All sorts of things. Roam free.
The Halloween School Bus Massacre.
Check your candy.
Welcome back to Junk Food Dinner, episode 32, the Halloween Spectacular. The final movie we're going to be talking about tonight is Trick or Treat from 2007. This is a movie that, when it came out to a less than auspicious release, it was originally slated for a theatrical release and a big, you know, national run. But for whatever reason, Warner Brothers, the company that produced the movie, decided to withhold the release and have it go straight to DVD. 2 years later in 2009. So anyway, in the interim, this film got a lot of praise from people that did get a chance to see it at film screenings and stuff, particularly the guys at Ain't It Cool News, which kind of championed this movie and finally got, like, you know, the horror fans into it and stuff. And I think it's kind of become a minor cult classic in the brief time that it's been out. And I think it could definitely become a Halloween tradition. While it seems like a natural fit that horror movies and Halloween kind of go hand in hand, besides a few notable exceptions, there haven't been really too many horror movies, you know, really focus on Halloween. I think because John Carpenter's Halloween kind of set the template and did it so well, I think a lot of filmmakers were understandably not wanting to go into the Halloween market. But nevertheless, this film is really a love letter to the holiday itself. It really goes into a lot of the traditions and, you know, the history of the holiday in America. But basically, this movie is an anthology, more or less, where we have four stories that kind of interweave together, all taking place on Halloween. First, we have an opening where a couple is coming home from a Halloween party. The wife or the girlfriend, you know, wants to blow out the jack-o'-lantern and stuff, and, you know, they're talking about the traditions and rules of Halloween, and we see, you know, this climactic opening scene where something happens to this girlfriend, but we're not quite sure what. Then we get a story about a principal, Stephen Wilkins, played by Dylan Baker, who kind of isn't the nice persona that he seems. He's kind of, you know, basically he's killing this kid. And then we've got a story about these kids going around telling the legend of the school bus massacre that happened. Then we have the story of these young 20-year-old girls, one of them, Anna Paquin, going out with her sister and their friends, and they're, like, you know, looking to hook up with boys on Halloween. And then we have the story of this old man who's living by himself on Halloween, kind of like the Ebenezer Scrooge of the Halloween Christmas Carol, if you will. And he's visited by the kind of mascot of this movie, this little kid named Sam in a burlap pumpkin mask and orange footy pajamas, carrying a jack-o'-lantern lollipop. I saw this movie when it came out on DVD and just immediately fell in love with it. I mean, it's everything you love about the holiday of Halloween in a really good, like, concise horror movie. And it's just a lot of fun to watch. The performances are great. And yeah, I really enjoy it, and I watched it last year on Halloween, I watched it this year on Halloween, and I will probably do so for many Halloweens to come. How did you guys feel about this movie?
I thought this movie was great. I've been wanting to see it for a long time. I think I've, like, every time I go to the video store, pretty much, it seems like it's in my hand, and then I always rent something else instead. Usually one of the Bring It On movies or something. And I've been wanting to see it and failed horribly at it for a long, long time. But I watched it the other day, and it is so great and so awesome. And I think that this is probably going to have to be the go-to movie to watch on Halloween, because it's just so Halloween-y.
Right.
all the Halloween, traditions and things are there, and everything about Halloween is represented. And Sam is so cute. I like that. I like my movie monsters to be cute.
Right.
Like that leprechaun and Chucky. there's just so much cool stuff in this movie that, I mean, just every 10 seconds there's something either, going on in the forefront or in the background that's cool, and all the cool performances.
You watch it, the more you notice.
Yeah, I would imagine. I just saw it the one time, but I'm probably going to have to watch it 10 more times since I have nothing to do.
you're just waiting on that video game, right?
Yeah, once I beat Fallout, then I'll probably watch this movie. Not a moment sooner. Yeah, I think this is super great, and I know that I'm going to be watching it every Halloween probably, so I like it.
I would say that one of my favorite movies ever is Creepshow. And whenever I hear horror anthology, that is what I have to try to like hold it up to. And so this came out when I was working at the video store, and everyone who rented it told me that it was great. And I was just like, oh, yeah, I'll watch that. And I just, like, never did. And I had my friend Brian that I went and saw that Halloween movie with. He told me that it was great. And just all these people were like, oh, it's great. You got to see it. And I just, for some reason, I just, like, never got around to watching it. So when he picked this for the podcast, I was like, oh, thank God. I'm, like, required by law to watch this now. And so I had pretty high expectations, and they were definitely met. I thought this movie was great. I don't think it's as good as Creepshow, but I think it's really good. And like you said, there's so much going on. You know, I was watching it. I actually watched it today. And, I was watching it, and I would say, like, oh, the wolves howling, like, oh, that's the other story, and this, it's everything is tied together.
Yeah.
And everyone in it is awesome, and there's like, there's good kills, and there's cool camera work, and there's cool costumes, and it's cool. I mean, they have that, they have the comic book kind of element to it, like Creepshow, which when it started I was like, oh yeah, it was really good. And I'm glad I saw it, but I'm sad that it took me so long to actually watch it, because I should have been championing this movie to people for a while now. So I very much enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, it's only been out basically for mass public consumption for about a year now, so it's not like it's been out that long.
I guess that's true.
I actually I followed this movie as soon as I started hearing about it years ago. And I actually was fortunate enough to attend the premiere of this movie, because the director, Michael Daugherty, is a Columbus native. So he actually held the premiere with his family and friends at the old Drexel Theater in Columbus.
Well, that's awesome.
So, yeah, how'd you miss out on that, Mark?
I have no idea. Nobody tells me anything.
Well, it was very hush-hush, and the minute I found out about it, like, I had my my fiancé, Jeremy, drive up there and make sure that we had tickets. And so we got to go, and I was so excited because, basically what happened was, as a Warner Brothers executive, it was one executive, said that he didn't like the fact that kids died in the movie. So that is why he wanted it to go directly to DVD.
Get real.
Guess what happened after the fact, though? The movie came out. It was actually outselling Twilight on Amazon. And that Warner Brothers executive is no longer with the company, I might add. because, as you know, Warner Brothers has been struggling for many, many years. And this essentially would have got them out of the hole. I saw the movie, and the director, Michael, he introduced it and, gave us a little bit of background on it, and basically said that he made it as kind of, a love to growing up in Ohio, And, you know, traditions here during the holiday season, you know, Halloween and everything.
Yeah, I was going to say it's very Midwestern.
Exactly. Yeah. And everything about this movie was exactly how what Halloween was for me, you know, growing up and still today. And it's funny because, like, you know, the first couple that they show and everything and, you know, the girlfriend's getting cranky and she wants to tear down all the decorations and blow out the candle. I never blow out my candles. I never have since I was a child. So I thought that was really creepy. I'm like, oh, that's why I don't do that, because, you know, bad things will happen to you. but I loved the movie. It was just, and I too, like Mark, I am a huge Creepshow fan. So whenever I hear about anything or even being compared to, or, you know, even mention Creepshow, I get very, you know, it's like, there's no way you could top that movie. It's not going to happen. Just, you know, forget about it. I boycott it, and then I never see it. But Trick or Treat was nothing like that. And even the director said when he, right before he actually played the film, was, you know, if you've come here to watch, you know, your typical slasher movies and what you've pretty much had in theaters for the last decade, he's like, then, you know, you're going to be mistaken. You're going to be upset. You're not going to like this movie. And I just thought that kind of scared me, because I'm like, I really didn't know what my expectations were at the time anyway. I just know that ever since I saw that still from the school bus, where all those children are sitting in the school bus and it's just the way it's lit and everything, I was just like, oh my God, I've got to see this movie. I'm going to love it. And I did. I mean, just how the whole thing interacts, and every time you watch it, you'll notice something different, something in the background, something they say that you didn't pick up before. It's such a great film. I think that everyone should make it, you know, a law in their household to watch this movie during the holiday season, because it's absolutely wonderful. It's very much an ode of love to Halloween. And I love Sam, and I love the fact that he's, you know, you do have a lot of the history of Halloween. So Samhain, it's just all awesome. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting to think what this movie would have become if it did get a proper theatrical release, and if, you know, right, it would be much more widely regarded as a classic. I mean, like I said, it's very new to the game, so I guess time will tell. But yeah, it's a shame that a lot more people didn't get to see this on the big screen, or maybe not even see it at all because they are just kind of oblivious to it.
Or maybe it's just kind of a blessing in disguise. Maybe it'll be kind of like with Mark and Parker, who didn't watch it until later on. So, you know, there's a lot more fans and, you know, fans of the genre out there that can discover this movie if, you know, if they haven't already seen it, and, you know, have another great movie to add to their collection.
Yeah. On the Blu-ray version of this, I'm sure it's on the DVD too, but I know that there's some special features that aren't on the DVD. It has the full animated short film, The Season's Greetings, that Michael Dougherty did, and that's really cool too. I mean, it's cool to see kind of like the genesis of this. And
exactly.
And that's cool to watch. But yeah, I mean,
I don't think it's better than Creepshow by any means, but I think it's up
no,
there.
No,
I think it deserves to be, you know, up there with Creepshow, with Tales from the Dark Side, the movie, you know, that kind of stuff. I think it's really well done, and I think it's sad that it kind of got pushed to the side.
Yeah, and I think all the stories interact well together. I mean, it's very creatively done. There's a lot of ways where, like you kind of mentioned before, stuff pops up from the other stories, and it's like really surprising. You're like, oh, that's really clever. And,
yeah, just the way they work everything together is it's just completely seamless.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm sure upon repeated viewings I'll pick up on even more things. But just you know, from start to finish, everything ties together.
There is some really beautiful camera work in that movie too.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
especially
really well
when
lit.
The kids go to that ravine and stuff.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking about, but I didn't want to give any spoilers away. But that shot, it just, my jaw was on the ground.
Yeah, really good.
So watch it. Tonight.
Yeah, I want to talk about some of these spoilers, but I also don't want to give spoilers away.
I know there's so many great things in that movie, but it's like, I don't, yeah, if you haven't seen the movie, I want you to see it. I really hate it when I get, you know, spoilers.
Right. I think this is kind of like the worst movie to give spoilers away, because probably not a ton of people have seen it, and there's a lot of stuff that is
right.
The shock value.
Exactly.
Makes it exciting.
And you want them to, I felt very much like a little kid again. I mean, it really had that effect on me. When we left the theater, because, you know, I'm more towards Cincinnati, you know, it's a bit of a drive home. And the whole time, I mean, no radio, no nothing. We're all in our phones and, you know, I'm blogging, and I would just, and we were just talked about it the whole way home. We were so excited. I couldn't sleep that night because I was just had to tell everyone I knew about how great this movie was.
Yeah.
You know, well, it's been so long. Like, there's very few times that I've been to the theater in probably the last 15 years where I actually walked out of the theater like, hell yeah. Like, I could go see that again right now.
Yes. That's how I felt about the new Jackass movie. I was stoked. I called everybody I know. I said, Grandma, you got to go see this Jackass movie.
No, right, and yeah, I could see your grandma doing that, Parker, though.
She might.
Yeah, and apparently in 2009, Michael Dougherty said that he's planning a sequel, so maybe we'll see more from the Trick or Treat.
Yes, he did mention something about that, you know, hopefully, I don't think Warner Brothers will make the same mistake twice. Well, you know, and then the same gentleman isn't there anymore, so, yeah.
Well, maybe if that happens, they'll do, like, a limited run of this in theaters, because I would definitely go to that.
Yeah, and plus, I don't know, like, I'm always leery, or I've pondered if when things open nationwide, does it sometimes take away from it almost, because everyone you know, even the people that you had never in a million years would actually seek their advice for movie suggestions or want to have an in-depth conversation with about movies anyway, and they're talking about how much they love it. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one who thinks stuff like that.
No, I understand.
I
but
think
yeah.
That way about Guar. I don't want anybody but me liking Guar.
Which
is a shame.
Well, it's
because...
just, you know, when things get overhyped, those are when I tend not to see the movie. And then I'll wait a few years when no one's talking about it anymore.
Well, yeah, it was strange because everyone I know said that this was great. I was like, this movie probably fucking sucks. Like,
right, exactly.
I mean, it was like across the board. There were no detractors, you know, telling me that I shouldn't see this, which would ultimately make me want to see it more, I think. So I don't know, but that's probably why I avoided it. Also, I was watching other stupid shit, but...
Yeah, you brought up them playing this in theaters a moment ago, Mark, and they actually, I think a couple of days ago, played this and Halloween 3 at the New Beverly Theater in L.A.
Oh, my God.
I love New Beverly. I could move in right next door to that place.
Yeah, the place is pretty great. I have yet to see a movie there, but I went once and I couldn't get in because it was goddamn sold out, sons of bitches.
Okay, but, you need to get your tickets days in advance. And a lot of times the director and people that were in the film will show up. So, Parker, I demand that you go next time, that there's something awesome. They constantly are playing 35mm prints of John Carpenter films.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's
actually
a recluse, so he doesn't really come out that much.
That's what I like to hear.
All right, well, you guys got anything else on Trick or Treat?
It's awesome. See it if you haven't seen it.
So good.
All right, well, that just about wraps up Trick or Treat for us. So we're going to take a quick break, say a few words, and we will wish you a happy Halloween. Well, that just wraps up the special Halloween edition Junk Food Dinner episode number 32. We'd like to thank everybody for tuning in and listening, and hope you're having a wonderful Halloween. We'd like to thank Faith Von Awesome for coming on Junk Food Dinner and talking with us tonight. Faith, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
The original Scream Queen.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Faith, yeah, you got some stuff you want to plug?
Well, I just wanted to tell everyone to tune into Showtime at midnight on Sundays. You're going to be watching Dexter anyway, so just leave it on and watch Look, which is a new series. It actually just premiered on October 10th. So if you haven't already seen it, there's actually going to be a marathon on November the 6th, which is a Saturday, where they'll be showing the first four episodes. And then you'll be all caught up for the fifth episode on Sunday, November the 7th. This is actually just a bit about Look. It's basically, it's all from the perspective of surveillance cameras. And if you think about how many times that you're out and about every day or even where you work, there's cameras everywhere. So basically what this series is it takes a look at, you know, what is being watched and who watches it. There's lots of nudity, senseless violence, and unforeseen plot twists. So that's another reason to tune in. It's actually directed by Adam Rifkin. I don't know if we have any Dark Backward fans or Detroit Rock City. He actually did a movie called Look back in 2007, and then it turned into a Showtime series, and it's actually getting rave reviews, and it premiered at number one in its time slot for the year, so probably going to be looking at a season two, and it'll really make you take a look at your own life and, you know, what you're doing when you don't think you're being watched.
Cool.
Sounds terrifying.
It really is. I know myself, I'm always aware of where cameras are now, because it's just, you never know when you might be that next viral hit on YouTube.
Let them record you playing Fallout. Let them see. Let them see these achievements.
Yeah, make sure you tune in next week. We've got our special Guar episode where Parker is going to be sitting down and interviewing Mr. Odorous Urungus from Guar. And yeah, it should be a lot of fun. We're going to be talking about Guar's movies, Skullhead Face and Phallus of Wonderland, so that should be cool. And yeah, and if you want to get in contact with us, send us an email at jfdpodcast@gmail.com, or you can look us up on Facebook or Twitter. Make sure you go to our website, junkfooddinner.com, where you can download all our episodes and keep up on the latest happenings with Junk Food Dinner. You can also find links to iTunes and Podcast Alley, where you can subscribe to our show and have it delivered directly to your computer. And if you really like us, leave us a comment or vote on iTunes or Podcast Alley and help us get up in the rankings. We really appreciate it. So until next time, this is Kevin Moss, Mark Prado, Parker Bowman, and Faith Von Awesome saying Happy Halloween for Junk Food Dinner. We'll see you next time. Ha 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 ha!